Look at John chapter 16. We've talked about names and famous people. There isn't any name any greater than the name of Jesus. Jesus said in 16:23, in that day. Now he's talking about after his resurrection, he ascends to the Father's right hand. You know that from verse 21. A woman when she has travail hath sorrow. The word sorrow in the scripture always means pain. Because her hour is come, but as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. Jesus is fixing to face the anguish of the cross. But not only the anguish of the cross, you remember, he's going to descend into places of torment with our sins in order to face the devil and totally defeat him. The devil's not been eliminated. He has been defeated. He will rise up and try to dominate and control your life. But in the mighty name of Jesus, you're the one in charge. One person under God's name. In that day, verse 23, the day of his resurrection, the day when he's seated at the Father's right hand, you shall ask me nothing. Now that indicates they had never prayed in the name of Jesus before. That's standard procedure with us. It's very, very scriptural. Pray, dear Father, I come in Jesus' name. Doesn't matter. You start with the name, end with the name. I like to start with the name. I like to say, Father, I'm coming in Jesus' name. You know, if you went to somebody and you visited them, if I sent you somewhere, that would be the first thing you said. I've come because Becky sent me. So I want the Father to know, even though he knows, that I know his business in Jesus' name. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Whatever you ask in my name. Now, if you go to the Lord's Prayer, you'll find out the name of Jesus is not mentioned. So Jesus said, there's coming a day to use my name, meaning they hadn't used it yet. The name of Jesus has not yet the power and the authority that it's going to have after the resurrection. That's why we talk so much in leading up to this lesson. All of those other lessons led up to the seed I think we can plant today, if the Lord will help us, and I believe he will. The name of Jesus had authority and power after the resurrection that it didn't have before. Jesus was his earthly name. It says, you shall name him Jesus, and it tells you what Jesus means. He shall save his people from his sins. That's in Matthew chapter 1. There's coming a day when the name of Jesus can be used in great power and in great authority, and it's in that name you pray. Now, when you work with your children, don't teach them to pray to Jesus because you establish a habit pattern that's wrong that will harm them in the long run. If I tell you 1 and 1 is 3 and I think, oh, you know, eventually she'll learn it's not really 3. It's very difficult to uproot some things. You've found that out. Now, the scripture is very clear. We don't ask anything of Jesus. You can talk to him. You can love him. You can fellowship with him, and you should. But you always address the Father. And when your children say, dear Jesus, help them over time to know that they have a wonderful Father in heaven, and to say, dear Father. Well, you can say that because of the name of Jesus. If you read the Lord's Prayer, no mention of that name, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You go through the entire prayer. It doesn't say in Jesus' name. And Jesus here is telling him, there's coming a day. There's coming a day when you'll use my name. Well, we need to think about what made the difference. What made the difference in the name? Now look at John 14. Let me show you something else. This verse is often, verse 13, used about prayer, but it doesn't refer to prayer. I'll show you the difference. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Now, when it talks about prayer, it says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, the Father answers. You ask the Father, and the Father answers. Prayer is addressed to the Father, and the Father answers. He's not talking about prayer here. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. He's talking about responding to his own name. When you do the works of God, and you say in Jesus' name, Jesus responds or answers to his name. You don't have power, you have authority. Oh, what a difference it makes if we understand that. A policeman standing at an intersection has authority. If you want to run over him, if you choose to be mean and ugly, you can run over him. You don't have ability. You do have authority. You have that assignment. That policeman has that assignment, but he doesn't have great ability. But if you run over that policeman, all of the ability available will come for you. There is behind that one man in the intersection great ability. And you see that on television where the police gather and they bring these marvelous dogs. And they're out about the business of government. And there's great ability there. But one policeman just has authority. He just represents the state or represents the city, and he has authority. Well, Jesus gave you his name, and you have authority. You don't have the ability. What a relief. I mean, you're not trying to do this by yourself. This is not your thing. It's God's thing, and he's going to do it through you. Well, when I say, when we were in Africa, you know, I'm pretty sturdy. I can eat all things. I don't like fish. I just hope I never have. But when you travel, you have to face a few fish, you know. I had Smokies in Scotland, and they covered them up in cheese. What a blessing. And I ate them, too. But when they bring those fish with the head on them, I think, oh. Well, I got really sick eating something. And the house was really long where we were staying, and we were visiting. I'm way down here, and Wayne's way down here. It was a long, narrow place. And when I went down here realizing that I was sick, I said, Wayne! When I realized I'm really sick, I need help. He's down here, but he heard the voice of his name, and he came. I called him because I didn't have the ability. I needed ability. And when you say Jesus, you're saying, I need your ability. And he always comes. He always comes to the call of his name. Now, at the gate called Beautiful, they didn't pray for that man. They said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. There's no prayer there. And that's what this verse refers to. The deeds of God, the work of God. When I lay hands on the sick, I almost always say in Jesus' name, recognizing I don't have healing power, healing ability. But when you call his name, he comes. Now look at Matthew 18. This is the most startling and magnificent verse. We've majored in the first part of it, and we've not seen and let it impact our verse in totality, our hearts in totality. Verse 20. Are you ready? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, that's the part we know. I'm going to read it to you. Commas are not divinely inspired, by the way. They were put in by the King James people. Where two or three are gathered together, in my name there am I. 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 He is in that name. Now, if you don't think so, you get in trouble with the law. The first thing they do if they're trying to hide from the law is what? Change their name. Why? Because they are that name. You are not separate and distinct from your name. When we're overseas, our daughter tends to all our business. When she goes to the bank or does something else, she goes in our place, she goes in our name. And anything that I could do personally, my name will do. Do you get that? Write that down. Don't you ever forget it. Anything you can do personally, your name will do. Anything Jesus would do personally, his name will do. And he's given you his name. You can use it in prayer. You can use it doing works or deeds of God. Anything his name will do. Now, if she doesn't know what I want done, she consults me. We get emails from all across the country. We pulled up in front of a library. It was the only place in this little town that had an email connection. The library was closed, but we thought we could probably boot off of the equipment by sitting in the parking lot. Why? Because we need to communicate. She doesn't know what to do. Well, I have a book that tells me what to do. I'm not trying to use his name separate from his will. His name will not do what he doesn't want done. His name will not do what he doesn't want done. And my name won't do what I don't want done. So she consults me. She calls. She emails. And she finds out when the house bill didn't come. She couldn't find it. I hadn't written her a note what bills are due when. So she pays everything. She supervises everything. She makes all the decisions. And she does it in my name. And when she does it, I don't have to do it. I don't have to come home and check on it. But she says, where is the house payment? Didn't you say they'd send a coupon? And I said, if you didn't get the coupon, you go down to the bank. She consulted me. Go down to the bank, tell them that you're paying the bills this month. You didn't get a coupon. And they'll be glad to take my money. It's not her money. It's my money. She's doing this for me. And when Jesus left, he said, some things you're going to want me to do. And you ask me and I will do it. In my name, I will do it. If you have the name, you have him. Now, when you sign your mortgage papers, you first sign 20 years, 24 years, 30 years. All the bank wanted was your name. If your name was not you, you would be still standing in the vault at the bank till all those payments were made. If they have your name, they have you. You are that name. There's union. There's divineness between you and your name. Now, if you don't make your payments, they can take you to court and take your house. You don't have to be there. They just have your name. They have your name. You signed your name. They'll take your house. And you'll come home and be locked out. How'd they do that? With your name. In my name, there am I. In my name, there am I. Now, my name doesn't represent very much. I have a certain amount of money in several banks. We have some land and property. But if I gave you my name, it doesn't amount to much. If I'd say, go to the White House and tell President Bush that Becky sent you. My name's not honored there. It's not recognized there. Nobody knows who I am there. They could check IRS. I'm listed. Check Social Security. I'm not really socially secure yet, but I'm planning on being. I have that on my agenda. I haven't worked long enough yet to be eligible for Social Security. Isn't that amazing? I worked for free all the days of my life, and so now we're trying to conform to some government regulations that we feel like would be for our benefit. Well, if you have my name, now if my father had a tremendous business, and I said, oh, go down, Daddy will sell that for you. Just tell him I sent you. And you go down to the business that my father owned. And he's retired now. He's fixing to be 87, so he's not in business anymore. But if you go down there and you say, oh, Becky sent me. Now, you would expect that my name meant something there. You wouldn't say, Becky sent me. You would expect at least for somebody to be gracious and kind to you. And you would also think, maybe, just maybe, I might get a cheaper price. Isn't that why you would use my name? Now, you can go to businesses all over town, and we're not known. Now, Wayne and I go to the post office all the time. And I guess he was either in the car or he was unlocking with a post office box. And I went to get stamps and mail some things. And the man who knows us, because we're there all the time, he said, where is he? I said, he's in the car. He didn't get out today. Because we're known together. See, your light should shine. Look at Philippians 2. I want to show you a verse. So the light of God shines through you. And you should be known because you know him. You know we know people because they're mean and ugly. But you and I should be known. I love this verse. Because we know him. Verse 15, chapter 2. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. What a goal. I love it. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Now, the name of Jesus is powerful. You're supposed to be a light. That's why I read that to you. The name of Jesus is powerful for three reasons, at least these three reasons. And names come to people for these reasons. We have great conquest or great victory. You may not remember, but Dwight Eisenhower, who was our president in the 50s, was famous for his victory in World War II. Does anybody remember that besides me? Okay, I feel better. And then there's names because of great merit, because of great accomplishments. One thing that I don't have to ever know how to do, which I don't, is spell. Because Suzanne's a marvelous, gifted at spelling. Now, we've talked about, I'll give the other one a minute, we've talked about great conquest. It's Satan's defeat. When you say Jesus, that name recognizes Satan's defeat. And when you say in Jesus' name, Satan knows that you know his defeat. Cause of great conquest. Look at Colossians 2. We've read this verse many times. Let's read again. 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. We talked about last week, the word triumph is a verb here, but often in history it's not a verb, it's a noun. They don't triumph, they have a triumph. It's a noun. What are you doing? We're having a triumph. We'd say, what are you doing? We're having a party. What are you doing? Oh, we're having a birthday. Well, they're having a triumph. And when Satan was defeated, 3 days and three nights, Jesus went down from the cross. They put his body in the tomb. But he went into the place of torment. Two scriptures in Acts chapter 2 say he was not left in hell. You can't be left anywhere you haven't been. So he was in hell. He was there 3 days and three nights. And when the price for sin was finished and paid, he laid aside the cloak of sin that he bore down there and defeated the devil and came up triumphant. He passed through the garden to pick up his body. And he ran into Mary. And Mary obviously tried to touch him because he said, touch me not. I've not yet ascended to my Father. And he's on the way to the Father. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9, isn't it? To lay his blood at the altar. Now, somebody always asks a question that God doesn't answer. And I just always politely say, I don't know, God didn't say. And I don't know how many times they want to know, how did Jesus gather up his blood and get it to the altar? I have not an idea. No clue at all. I don't know about you. Those kind of things don't bother me. I'm not one that reads in between the cracks. I can't just try to get what's written. If you just get what's written. Verse 12, chapter 9. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. By his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, there aren't any holy places on earth, but you look at verse 23 and it tells you, it was necessary that the pattern of things in heaven, earth is the pattern of things in heaven, should be purified with these, that's the blood of bulls and goats, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hand, which are figures of the true, but into what? Heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. For us. Now here's the cross. I draw these all the time all over the world because they're easier for people to see, especially when you have a language barrier. They put the body in the tomb. But the Spirit, it says, went to the place of torment. Now, not Gehenna. Gehenna is the place, lake burning with fire and brimstone, which is mentioned in Revelation. But there's also Sheol and Hades, which was the place, Abraham's bosom on one side, the place of blessing, and the place of torment on the other. And that's mentioned in Luke 16, several other places. Now, when the 3 days was over, he comes up through the garden to pick up his body. Runs into Mary. He says, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended. Where was he going? He was going into heaven, going into heavenly places to leave his blood there. Now, he's going to come back the same day and run into the disciples. And then 8 days after that, Thomas was not at that first meeting. And Thomas says, I'm not believing it. I'm just not believing it. And when Jesus saw him, he says, Thomas, touch me. Handle me. What made the difference? The complete sacrifice had been fulfilled. See, a lot of times at the cross, we say it is finished, but it wasn't finished there. What was finished was the old covenant. The old covenant was finished, and the blood of bulls and goats was finished. But the sacrifice and the plan of redemption had only just begun. And we've misunderstood that. It's not finished. It only just begun. Jesus goes to the altar of heaven. I don't know. Revelation talks about the temple and the altar. I don't know if it's an actual temple or altar. I just don't know. But here we are. Now, he is still spirit, soul, and body. The one sacrifice he made is he'll never be a spirit being like he was at the beginning of the foundation of the earth. He put on a body, and that body has now been glorified. It's now an eternal body, and he carries it for life. He carries it all through eternity. And people who have seen him or caught a glimpse of him says the holes you can see right through his hands. Can you imagine? And then when that sacrifice was made at the altar, the blood was left there, he comes back and meets with the disciples, and meets with them for over 40 days to instruct them. And then he's going to ascend where he now sits at the Father's right hand. And the Spirit of God is not here because the Spirit of God is now on the earth. You see that, don't you? Now, when you say in Jesus' name, that's the name that indicates that you're the winner. You know, if I give you my name and I'm a real loser and I don't have any money and I don't have a home, you're going to be a real loser if all you've got is my name. But if I give you my name and say, use my name, do what you need to do, and I have millions and millions and billions of dollars, homes all over the world, which I don't, by the way, then you'd be mightily profited with my name. I have the name that conquered hell. I have the name that conquered hell. I have it. 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 The name that conquered hell, I have it. And when I say in Jesus' name, Scripture says all heaven, earth, and hell bows to that name. When they had that triumph in history, you can look this up. When they had a triumph, they would take the captives from war, those who had been defeated. They bind them and they prayed them through the city. They couldn't put it in the newspaper or on the computer or on the TV because it wasn't as such. So they wanted everybody to know that we have won, we're the victors. And they'd have this massive triumph and they'd prayed all these prisoners through town. And that's what it says Jesus made a show of them openly. When he came up out of hell and the 3 days was finished and Satan was fully defeated, D-E-F-E-E-T-E-D. Defeated. He has no feet. The only thing he has going for him is his mouth. If you don't listen to him, you don't get any trouble. And you say, Jesus, 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 Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll do it. Heaven, earth, and hell recognizes that name. that name. Now, we name our children just because it's a name we liked. It was a name that was popular. It was our mother's name. Not too many people are divinely inspired. I don't think it matters much unless it matters to you. But you just, most people, we took a vote 2 weeks ago. Most people just picked a name. You liked it. Anybody else in your family by that name? No. It's just a name. I was named after my grandmothers. One was Beulah Suzanne, and one was Letty Rebecca. The good news is they didn't name me Beulah Letty. I got both of their middle names, Rebecca Suzanne. I'm the third Rebecca in my family, and so the name has, that's all the significance that name has. Nobody in my family that I know of has ever had any money. My great-grandfather had a grocery store in Winter Haven. We were Polk County people all the days of our life, and he made enough profit to support his family, and that's about it. But when you have the name of Jesus, in my name, there am I. 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 Well, when I holler Wayne, he comes. If I holler Wayne, Suzanne doesn't even respond. Because he's not in her name. He's in his. There's no distance between you and your name. Did you know that? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The name of the victor. Now that victory was for you. It was for you. He was not a loser. In heaven, in eternity, one day if we study the foundation of the earth, which we might, I like to do that, you'll find out that the devil was a created being. He was an angel. And he decided he'd take over. And he said, I will, I will, I will. There are seven I wills. He said, I'll ascend my throne. So he had some authority. Some assignment from heaven. He said, I will ascend my throne above the heights of the north. In other words, he's going to take over for God. And you know what God did? Cast him out. That's what Jesus said. He said, I saw the devil fall as lightning. Cast him out. God wasn't having a devil problem. God didn't have a power struggle. He said, out, out, out. So Jesus didn't come because God was in trouble. He came because you were in trouble. He came because you had the nature of sin on the inside and bound by sin. You were defeated. You're a physical being with a spirit man. And before you knew Christ, that spirit man was bound with the nature of sin. And the reason you sin is because you have a sin nature. And when the nature of sin said, let's rob a bank. The flesh always, it is in agreement with evil. Have you noticed that? Your flesh always agrees with the wrong thing. That's why Jesus said you have to crucify the flesh. Make it a living sacrifice. In other words, don't listen. Don't listen. If you say, have another piece of pie, the flesh is going to say, right, good. If you say, oh, go ahead, nobody will notice. They won't know. And the flesh will say, oh, they'll never notice. Flesh is always in agreement with evil. And that's because the nature of sin was on the inside. Now you still have the flesh to deal with. But you have a new man on the inside. You have a new man on the inside. So when the flesh says they'll never notice, the man on the inside said, God knows all things. You have a new man on the inside. Now turn to Philippians. No, let's do Hebrews 1 first. The name represents victory, and it's your victory. Victory, victory, victory. Victory in Jesus. It's amazing. We talk victory. We believe in victory until we have a moment of stress, and then we lose our victory. You notice how quickly we believe in defeat? This is why we hang out together so we can sharpen one another. Chapter 1. Talking about Jesus, verse 3, who being the brightness of God's glory, the express image of God's person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than angels. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I'll be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. Do you see? His name always represents victory, but it was inherited. Now, there are people who haven't done anything except be born in the right family. I mean, if you talk about what is the accomplishment of some son of some great king or queen, they just were born to a famous family. Children all over have famous families, and they just inherit a name. It's not a name of that they've merited. It's a name of inheritance. And it says Jesus inherited his name. It tells you exactly when he inherited it. Exactly. It says he inherited the day the Father said, "This, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Now everybody ties that in with Bethlehem. Forget that. He wasn't born in Bethlehem. He came to inhabit the body of Mary by the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. He was transported. He was moved. He was delivered to Bethlehem. But he wasn't born. But when he came up out of hell, he was born. Now I'm going to prove that to you. Look at Acts 13. You see that verse again. Look at it before you turn the page. Obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he, anytime thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Look at Acts 13. That's a quote from the second Psalm. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about your name. Verse 29. When they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, laid him in a sepulcher. God raised him from the dead. He was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. We are his witnesses unto the people. We declare unto you glad tidings how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it's written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now that's very, very clear. What day was he begotten? The day he was raised from the dead. So what day did he inherit this great name? The day was raised from the dead. And you go back to Hebrews, it says he purged our sin. He's sitting at the Father's right hand. And in that day, he inherited this name. It's the name of the Son of God. Jesus, the Father cried from heaven twice, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. An inherited name. Now, in Lakeland, Cumbies have always been a substantial foundational name. Yet Wayne and I go places, even across Lakeland, that people don't know that name. They say, how do you spell that? And I thought, how long have you been in town? I mean, if you can't spell Cumbie, you haven't been here long. Because the name's everywhere, because Wayne has relatives that were part of government, relatives that were landowners. But there are places that name's not known. And places that spell C-U-M-B-E-E and C-U-M-B-I-E and C-U-M-B-Y even. But the name of Jesus, heaven, earth, and hell, know that name. And when I say Jesus, I'm saying, I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm the winner, I'm the winner, I'm the winner. And look at Mark 16. Jesus made it very clear. The scripture makes it very clear what his name will do. When we fail to recognize the importance of the name, we thwart our victory. Verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, once again, I'm going to change that. I'm just taking out the semicolon there. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. In other words, your authority over the works of Satan, even in your own life. Well, you think about it, you don't have authority over my life. If I'm dancing with the devil and that's the way I want it, you can't cast him out. You can't bind him. If I want him, if I'm embracing him and I like him, there's nothing you can do for me except pray that I come and my eyes of my understanding are enlightened and I come to the point of wanting deliverance and freedom. We're all the time trying to cast the devil out of somebody that's danced with the devil for years and likes it that way. No, that's not the way you start. Pray for them that they see. Sometimes people are in neutral and you can help them, but if they're totally against it, if you say, do you want to be free? And they say, no, I don't want to be free. Leave me alone. Then you have to leave them alone. Nobody wants to hear that, but that's the truth. But it says, in my name they shall cast out or take authority over devils. The only authority you have is over your life and the life of your small children. You don't even have authority over your children that are old enough to know some things. We need to put some things in our children. It saddens me that our children know so little. And those, a lot of them that know something, know but through the church and through the kids zone and through good ministry. But they don't know it in the home. And that so saddens me, I can't tell you. People live a fast pace and they don't give the priority to some things that are real important. And I personally, you don't have to write this down, this is not divinely inspired. I personally believe time with your children in the Bible is very, very important. And I think you have to make that sacrifice. And if you get too busy to help your children see the truth of God. I asked one little lady, well, your mother prays. Have you ever seen your mother pray? No. I didn't know what to say. Has your child never seen you pray? Did they not see you read? Do you not read the Bible to them? You're making a mistake. You're making a mistake. You're making a mistake. You get a child that's wild and woolly, and part of it is your fault. And what you see in my children is Wayne and I's fault. Now, it's not all our fault, because children have a will and mind of their own. But you need to at least be able to say, I told them. Isn't that right? I told them. We used to have family devotions. I'll just, while I'm meddling here, I'll just carry on. We used to have family devotions after dinner. When the children were real small, Wayne and I would do that, keeping it to 5 minutes, 10 at max. And we would draw pictures. That's how we, one of the ways we started. We had a friend that drew pictures as well. But we would draw them pictures. Well, when they got restless, then I said, tomorrow you do it. And so both Joel and Suzanne would have family devotionals. I noticed when they did it, it would take 20 minutes. They loved it so. So you'd be surprised what your children will do if you give them half a chance. Well, we were at the table one night. And we had our little devotion, and we were saying just a word of prayer. I mean, and don't make it a volume of the encyclopedia, you know. Cut it short. When the glory fell. I mean, fell in such measure, everybody was frozen, even the children. They were in elementary school, but they were frozen in place. And finally, after, I don't know, it seemed like forever. It may have been only 10 minutes, but it was a long time. One of them that was sitting by me elbowed me and says, Mom, Mom, can I get up now? Afraid to move. God came. So you need to have God at your house, not just in your church, at your house, at your house. And he won't come if you don't make some effort. So I said, yeah, you can go now. And they got down on their hands and knees and crawled out of the dining room. Never will forget it. Afraid to stand up. Oh, thank God. It was the highlight of my life. The highlight even today. Many years have come and gone. But there's Jesus. There's Jesus. Put it in you, children. Take time with your children. My, you got to. There's this old saying. Said you got to put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. You want me to say that again? Be sure you put the emphasis on the right syllable. And sometimes we emphasize the wrong things. And if all your child knows is what's on TV, you've missed God. I'm just telling you. Unplug your TV. We play Bible games even today with Ashley. And we go through down the alphabet. You know me in the alphabet. I say Abraham, and she says Barak. And I say Caleb, and she says Daniel. And I say Elijah. And we get stuck a couple places, but she knows her people. We can even do Bible. She's better at some of this than I am. You know, children have more alert minds sometimes because it's so very important. They come to God and you're raising a citizen of heaven. We're God's kids. You believe in him, you're God's kid. Well, all of that's free. It won't cost you a thing. His name's important because of his victory. It's important because of his inheritance. It was after his death and resurrection there was victory. It was after his death and resurrection that he inherited the name. Now look at Philippians chapter 2. Did we read this, Mark? In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Giving us an overview of what the name will do. Just some categories. Authority over Satan. the blessings of heaven. Speaking with tongues is one of the blessings of heaven. So there are many other blessings. It says in Peter that we've been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. Oh, there's a multitude of blessings. They come to you in the name. They come to you because Jesus paid for them. Take up serpents. That's divine protection. Lay hands on the sick. That's healing for the physical body. And so those things are found in the name. And when you say in Jesus' name, when you call out Jesus, he comes. He said, in my name, there am I. He is as much in his name. His name in your mouth will do the same thing as if he appeared in person. If Jesus appeared in person and you could see him, you would know there's certain things he would do because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. But he'll say those same things are done today through his name. He doesn't have to be here in person. He is coming again in person. We don't know in what time span, but he is coming again. In the meantime, he said, just use my name. See, when I'm gone, all Suzanne does is use my name. Use my name. He said, I'm not here. I'm at the Father's right hand. You have the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and use my name. In my name, there am I. His name will do exactly what he would do if he were here. Oh, and if we just recognize that and be bold to use the name. Now look at Philippians 2. He was given that name for a very special reason. One writer said, it seems there was a name reserved in heaven for someone who should especially merit it. And that name was given to Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. One writer says, did not cling to his rights and prerogatives as God. Made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion, that word fashion always has to do with external appearance. Being found in fashion as a man, talking about the word making flesh, the body he took on. He humbled himself. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, wherefore, and therefore is the same thing. Therefore, now you need to know what that therefore is there for. So let's go back to verse 8, make sure we got it. Being found in fashion, appearance, external appearance as a man, but what's on the inside? God the Word. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him. Why was he highly exalted? Because of his obedience. Because of his obedience to death. And his flesh pulled against that in the garden. He said, Father, if this be possible, this cup pass from me. But if not, thy will be done. His obedience, his dedication, his submission to God as his Father. Came obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because of his obedience, God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Beings, the word things in italics means the writer added that. Really should have added, put beings in heaven, beings in earth, beings under the earth. That every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now don't put that off too far in history. Because in your mouth the name of Jesus will cause them to bow today. Everybody reads that verse and think the day is coming, it's coming! And they look across the horizon of time, maybe just a few years, maybe decades of years. And so that day's coming. No, it's here. When you say Jesus, 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 something about that name. Now notice when he was given this name, when was it? After the death and resurrection. It talks about his death. It talks about him being highly exalted or raised to the Father's right hand, which was after the resurrection. God highly exalted him and gave him a name. So he inherited that name we found in Hebrews in the book of Acts after the resurrection. That's why Jesus said to disciples, you've never done this before. That's why he said, you've never used my name like this before. Because he was going to die. And he was going to pay the price. And he was going to take his blood to the altar of heaven and come back. And in that day, when you say Jesus, heaven, earth, and hell bows. In that day. There isn't anything more powerful than the name. Now, if I have the name, Jesus said we had authority to use that name. Just like I give Suzanne authority to use my name. I don't have ability. When I say Jesus, I don't have ability to heal the sick. When I say Jesus, I don't have the ability to solve that problem, to bring emergency crews on the scene. When I say Jesus, I don't have the authority to get money from the bank. But when I say Jesus, I'm using the authority that he gave me. And he always comes at the sound of his name with his ability. When his name is spoken in Holy Ghost authority, he comes with his ability. Now look at Matthew. Let's finish with this. If you've never seen this, Matthew 18. 18:18. Oh, I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Verily I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Who speaks first? Who speaks first? How many times you wait on God to do something? Whatever will be. The future's not ours, you see. Okay, so we just sit around and wait and see if God will do anything. Well, he won't. Whatever you bind, whatever you bind, whatever you bind, whatever you bind. See, when you speak up and use that name in great authority and say, I bind you in Jesus' name. I command you in that name. Then it says, whatever you bind, whatever you speak in authority. Then Jesus comes with his ability. He's as close as the mention of his name. Jesus, Jesus. But you have to speak first. When you speak, and it says, whatever you loose, you can loose money, command it to come to you in Jesus' name. When you loose money, command it to come to you, you don't have the ability to make it come, but I know who does. And when you say, Jesus, you promise, see, you can't, the name will not do what he won't do, but he said he'd meet your need out of his riches and glory. So when you say, Jesus, I need $114.12. One lady told me, I never thought of this till she said it, never thought of it. She said every time she'd ask God for money, he always sent her the money and tithe on that money. She said he has never failed to send me with the amount of money I requested. See, if I need $100, I don't know about you, but we tithe on every single dime. So if I need $100 and I tithe 10, I'm going to be $10 short on what I needed. And she told me, she said, God has never failed to send me the money I needed plus the tithe. So I just remind God of that. I said, I have to have $114.12 plus your part. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Whatever you loose, loose that money. Command it to come. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God's waiting on you. He's waiting on. He said, just use my name. Use my name. Use my name. He's as close as the mention of his. Do y'all get that? Jesus. Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. That name says victory. It says protection. It says provision. Now, you remember last week when I said, having done all to stand? There's often a time span. But we don't surrender our request because of the time span. You know, you're a mother. Has there ever been a time span between the time your child made a request that you were going to honor and the time that you actually honored that request? What took you so long? Why was there a time span? See, we honor time spans. We know we can only move so fast, do so much. Some things take time. Sometimes you tell your children, we can't do that today. We honor time spans. But if it's God and his word and he takes over 24 hours, we say, well, it's not working. It's just not working. I thought it'd work. Oh, give me a break. If you need $100 and God wants me to give it to you, he's got to wait till I say, all right, I'll do it. I've had people give me money that said, Lord spoke to me last month to do this. I want to say, what kept you? Now here I am thinking God's not honoring my request. He's not honoring my request. The money's not coming. I don't think that because I know it's coming. I know it's your fault, not mine. I found out, having done all to stand, I found out you have to be anchored. Because God's dealing with people. Healing sometimes doesn't come immediately, but it comes. And I don't care how ugly your kid is. And some of them are real ugly. Not yours, you understand, but... He's as close as... He comes. It'll happen. Close as the mention. Don't yell at your children. Please, please. And when you do say, I'm sorry, mother shouldn't have raised her voice. You know, mothers make mistakes. Daddies make mistakes. You can't admit daddy's mistake, but you can't admit yours. Did I say that nicely enough? I used to give Wayne a hint. I'd just say, is there anything you want to say at all? I said, anything at all? And he'd say no, and I'd say, you're sure now? There's nothing you want to say. Now, I didn't mean you wouldn't be firm with your children. I just want to add that addendum, because I've seen mothers that had the backbone of a lasagna soaked in water for 2 days. You have to be firm sometimes. You have to be authoritative. That's your job. But we're not going to have a fit either, right? So I will not have a fit with my children or my grandchildren. The reason you don't have many fits with your grandchildren, you can send them dudes home. You think, oh, that is it. I thank you, Father, for these people who listen so carefully, who are so hungry to know. Thank you, Father, for continuing helping us to explain. Bring the anointing on the hearer and myself as well, so that together we can grow in you and grow in knowledge of your word. We thank you for that name. We thank you for that name. Help us to honor it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.